time to talk business. Inc. Radio. Real stories, real solutions. Inc. Magazine has the knowledge and experience to help you grow your business and stay ahead of the competition. This is Inc. Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This show is about helping you grow your business. And that's what the magazine is all about, growing your business and or your brand, because maybe you are the CEO of yourself. Our first guest today, Leonard Armato, he is the CEO of Management Plus Enterprises, MPE, MPE.com on the web. Here's a guy who has helped people like Shaquille O'Neal, Oscar De La Hoya, and even Kareem Abdul-Jabbar grow their brands. And that's just the tip of the iceberg with him. Leonard, thanks for joining us, and I really appreciate you taking the time because I want to grow my brand, and I know that anybody listening has got to have that same desire because that's what this show is all about. I want to know about your life and how you got it going in this, and you kind of remind me of Jerry Maguire, the movie, which is one of my favorite movies, by the way.
That's funny because, you know, Jerry Maguire sort of had a, you know, sort of one of those defining moments in the movie where he decided to spend more time on fewer clients. And
right.
He said, you know, fewer clients, more attention. And, you know, I sort of had one of those moments, too, because you can only spread yourself too thin. And if there's great opportunities that abound, if you don't focus on the ones that really have high growth potential, then you're never going to take full advantage of it. And, you know, the second little lightning bolt that went off in my head was that unless you're working on something truly remarkable, something that's shareable and something that people want to talk about, then you really aren't working on a high-growth opportunity. So the first most important thing is what you intend to work on remarkable? Is it really high-growth? And unless you can say yes to that, then, you know, I like to say you can be the best jockey in the world, but if you're riding the old gray mare, you're not going to win the race.
Right. Good, good advice. So you know what I've learned hanging around the folks at Inc. for the last couple of years? Have great mentors around you because, you know, you are the kind of the sum total of the five people you hang around, right?
Definitely. No question about it. I mean, you have to have people that can advise you and counsel you and mentor you. And, you know, when I decided that remarkability was such an important sort of like linchpin in determining what to do, you know, I looked at someone like Shaq, and I said, there's nobody else in the world like this. There's nobody that has that kind of size, strength, and sort of like childlike innocence. And that combination is remarkable, and it's high growth. And what we were able to do with that combination is, for the first time, converge sports and marketing and entertainment and music and technology. And all of that was super fun and exciting, and it gave me an opportunity to play with a very broad landscape.
Mm. So first thing I think we need to all do, I mean, from what you just said, is to evaluate, are we riding the old gray mare or are we remarkable?
Well, not just we, but what we're working on.
Right, right. Well, there you go. Fair enough. I'm looking at a personal brand because I was thinking, if I'm not remarkable, can I be remarkable? Can my company be remarkable? Can my product, is my product remarkable?
Exactly.
Or am I wasting my time? Right.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's interesting you should say that because, you know, to me, there's sort of like a real key question you have to answer up front, especially if you're talking about a celebrity that you want to convert into a brand. The question is, does this celebrity or famous person, is that person truly remarkable, and is there the opportunity to create institutional equity? And I don't think, in my opinion, everybody talks about personal brand, everybody's got a personal brand. I don't believe in all that. I think everybody, of course, has a value proposition, like what is your value proposition? But a brand to me is something that has institutional equity that lives beyond the persona that exists. For example, Disney is a great example. Disney is this massive conglomerate today. You know, one day it was Walt Disney, the cartoonist. And, you know, there's a number of examples like that where you go beyond, like Michael Jordan, of course, is a great example because today people are buying the Jordan brand kids that don't even know who he is and never knew he was the greatest basketball player of all time. So that's just my view.
Yeah, no, he's definitely now an institutional brand because, like you said, they don't even know who he is. All right, stay with us. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to learn more from the Wizard of Oz here. Leonard Armato. It is Inc. Radio. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
acres with the birds I'll share. With the birds I'll share this lonely view. And with the birds I'll share this lonely.
Calling all hot rod enthusiasts. Come out to the 11th Nashville Nationals on May 13th through the 15th at the Nissan Stadium. On Friday and Sunday, have your chance to ride Autocross for Kids to benefit the Austin Hatcher Foundation for Pediatric Cancer, empowering the children and their families faced with pediatric cancer. To learn more, visit hatcherfoundation.org/autocross. You're listening to Ink Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Don't forget, pick up our magazine on newsstands everywhere. Ink, I-N-C magazine, the magazine for growing companies. Now, also ink.com on the web. Our guest right now is Leonard Armato. His company, Management Plus Enterprises. Here is the guy that helped people like Shaquille O'Neal to be who they are, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Oscar De La Hoya, and Ahmad Rashad. I mean, the name, the list, the names. But at some point, you became the CMO of Skechers. Now, I own some Skechers shoes. How do you go from being, being that this name is something you trademarked, the golden boy of marketing in this way, to a shoe company? It's all who you know, isn't it?
Well, the CEO and founder of Skechers is Robert Greenberg, a guy who was a client of mine in my younger days as a lawyer and a very good personal friend. And when I exited from another opportunity that I was working on, he asked me and sort of made me an offer I couldn't refuse to take Skechers, which at the time was a lifestyle company, and help to grow it into a performance company as well. And so my advice to him was, Robert, you got to walk before you can run. So we decided to, you know, start our sort of like adventure with walking shoes called Shape Ups. And we hired this little known reality star at the time named Kim Kardashian to star in our Super Bowl commercial. I think she had about 1 million Twitter followers at the time. And I think today that might be up to 50 million or something like that.
Can you believe that?
Obviously her, you know, her juggernaut has continued to grow and build, but also Skechers has done a fantastic job of creating a very substantial performance business. They not only sell training shoes, but running shoes, and Skechers Performance is a pretty nice sized portion of the company now. So for several years, I think about 3 years, I was with Robert and did that for him. And then I decided to go back into what I really love the most, and that is creating high growth opportunities in sports, truly sports. And that's when we created the concept of the World Series of Beach Volleyball. And the World Series of Beach Volleyball, I think, is something that really speaks to what's happening in pop culture today. At the core, it's a it's a sporting event. You know, the best in the world are competing for the World Series title in beach volleyball. People like Kerry Walsh Jennings, who's going for her fourth gold at the Olympic Games.
Well, you're managing her right now, aren't you?
Yeah, and we manage Kerry, and she just announced actually a really nice partnership with Honest Company and Jessica Alba last week.
Nice.
But the World Series of Beach Volleyball takes place the week after the Olympic Games, and not only is there a competition, you know, of the best beach volleyball athletes in the world, but there's also an open competition opportunity and a sort of tribal in nature for anybody to go down to the event and play and be a part of a big music party festival. So, you know, you can watch the best in the world compete, if you like, in our stadium, and it's telecast live on NBC. You can play beach volleyball with your friends and listen to house music, and we have a whole lineup of DJs that are playing. Or you can experience the best of beach lifestyle. So, you know, there's really something for everybody at this event. And, you know, my theory, Alan, is in today's world, if you're not creating something of scale that incorporates what's important today in pop culture, then it's difficult to cut through the clutter. And I think the World Series of Beach Volleyball has a great opportunity to cut through the clutter.
I love it, because if I just look at your, you know, the list of great things that you have done with some great people, but it takes, you know, it takes a village, you know, like you said, kind of a tribal sport business.
Yeah.
Is, you know. You have done
well,
some amazing,
you know, everybody's
things.
Infatuated with beach culture in Southern, yeah, California and all that. So what we want to do is we want to give people a chance to experience it at the highest level in all forms. So watching beach volleyball is super cool, and you have beautiful people playing in small amounts of clothing, being surrounded by beautiful people in small amounts of clothing.
Right.
And then you have an opportunity for everybody to play and compete and be in the sun and enjoy themselves and have a, you know, Bud Light and listen to great music. And then there's just everything about the beach lifestyle, the water and the sun and, you know, the whole beach culture. So I think we've got something extraordinary. We've done it for 3 years now, and every year we've had like 25% growth in the attendance and in the support for the event. So we're really hoping that the weekend after the Olympic Games, when we have, it's August 23rd to 28th this year, we will have a celebration of, you know, gold medals for the U.S. Olympic teams. They'll be coming back to play at the ASICS World Series of Beach Volleyball. And we're going to be in a position to really celebrate their success and enjoy, you know, this incredible event.
All right. So here's the deal. In our next segment, I want you to become the professor. And for those who are looking to build that brand, to determine, maybe they've already determined, you know, that they have a truly remarkable brand and it has got potential for high growth. And with what you have done, I'd like you to put your professor's cap on for a moment and give us the lessons that we should mark down. I want everybody to get your pencils ready, because this is the kind of stuff you can't pay enough money to get. You probably don't have enough money to pay, you know, Leonard to get this, so it's free. That's the best part. Hang on. We'll take a break, come back, and get our lesson for the week. You're listening to Ink Radio. We'll be right back with Leonard Armato. Stay with us.
Seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more morning dance with you, my love?
Looking to become an entrepreneur and purchase your first business? Venatrans Financial has been helping entrepreneurs fund their dreams of business ownership for over 30 years. Whether it's using a retirement plan to buy a business, securing an SBA loan, or utilizing a dozen other options, Venatrans works hard every day to get entrepreneurs the funding they need, quickly, safely, and economically. Speak with a funding expert today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's Benetrends.com. Benetrends. Well, you're listening to Ink Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Today we're talking a little bit about identifying high growth opportunities when creating your own brand, or taking your brand and taking it to the next level, whether it be a lifestyle brand and turning it into a performance brand, or transforming a lifestyle sport into a professional sport. There is another level. Are you ready to go? If you are, then Leonard is about to help us. Leonard Armato, again,
thanks,
his website,
Alan.
You're welcome, mpe.com. All right, Professor, we're looking for, you know, all the students are sitting here eager, looking for that advice. So if somebody is looking to go to the next level, where would one start? I mean, I think we talked about it a little bit about, you know, determining whether or not we're riding the old gray mare or a racehorse, but take it from there.
Yeah, well, I think, as I mentioned to you, remarkability is key. You have to take something that has an opportunity to be shared by others or talked about by others and figure out how to put around it enough marketing weight to allow it to grow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a good example is when I saw the sport of beach volleyball, on the shores of Manhattan Beach, when these like volleyball gods were playing and these beautiful women in bikinis were watching them, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you saw a lot of what would appeal to corporate America and allow them to market their products effectively. So that's when I sort of saw the sport of beach volleyball, which was just a lifestyle sport at the time. I could just see it growing into becoming, you know, a real sport with, you know, potential for growth. And, you know, ultimately it grew into the Olympic Games, and, you know, it's all over the world now. So it's really interesting. But I think the key is you have to look and analyze very carefully whether the sport or the opportunity has high growth potential, whether you can put marketing partners around it to help create weight. Because in today's world, if you don't get bigger, you're simply going to get smaller. Because think about it, the world's more fragmented than it's ever been in history. And it's harder to cut through the clutter. And you've got to make a lot of noise for people to hear you. So look at the way things are happening on TV. Last night at the NBA Finals, there were 30 million people plus watching that game. Why? Because the NBA has a host of marketing partners and stakeholders that basically are talking about this game, talking about the NBA all the time, and putting it into the consciousness of our culture. But if you're a small little event or a small little sport and you're out there, you know, screaming, you know, loudly, it's almost like a tree falling in the forest if you don't have enough weight behind you. So I think one of the most important things is, you know, how can you create weight behind whatever it is that you're doing? And of course, you know, once you get enough weight behind it, is whatever the people are watching or experiencing remarkable? If it is, like LeBron James pinning a ball on the backboard at, you know, going 50 miles an hour and right. jumping like no other athlete on the planet, that's pretty remarkable. So, you know, you just have to ask yourself that question. If I get enough support behind what I'm doing, is it remarkable enough, interesting enough for people to embrace it?
Hmm. So you are like me, I think, like a lot of entrepreneurs, you're a fisher of men and women. You know, you're looking to catch that big one, that remarkable opportunity, whether it be a man or a woman, like a sports athlete, or yeah. something that has been untapped yet, like you did with beach volleyball, which I think is brilliant, by the way.
Well, thank you.
And
thank
I think you. there's a lot of opportunities out there. I mean,
certainly. And look what's happened with esport. I mean, I didn't yeah. think of that one, and I'm not really one to play video games, but. All of a sudden, you know, everyone's investing in it. Now, I guess the jury's still out on how big it can get and whether it's a spectator sport as opposed to just a, you know, a game that a lot of people play. But, you know, lots of folks think that's a high growth opportunity right now in today's world. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So you're going to see a lot about that. Another one was, you know, UFC. You know, it started out, just started growing, building all kinds of momentum and then it became a little more mainstream. Now, when UFC became mainstream, I think there was a little bit of resistance to it because it's so violent. But, you know, there's things like that that are out there, and you just have to analyze, you know, whether you believe that it has the kind of qualities that can ultimately make it attractive, appealing to a mass audience.
Right. So for us individuals,
yes.
self-analysis, I mean, literally,
yes.
company analysis, and mm-hmm. and then come to grips with the realities of, I need to make this company remarkable and
right.
truly remarkable, not just, you know, I'm making widgets and there's like 20 other widget makers. What differentiates you from the other widget makers? Are you
exactly.
doing what it takes to be truly remarkable? And then when you
exactly.
are, you can find people that are willing to invest their sure. brand with yours. I think partner marketing, I'm always looking at opportunities to partner up with somebody in a way where my brand and their brand go together like peanut butter and jelly, right?
Yeah, no question about it.
Peanut butter, like Reese's peanut butter cups, you know?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
That's
a great way to look at it, Alan. And you got to make sure you analyze if you're a company. What's your positioning and what's your value proposition? You know, what do you do better than anybody else in the world? You know, what is it that your strengths are that can distinguish you from, you know, the competition? And whether that's a product or whether that's services, you know, that's at the core of everything. Then if you get more communication weight around what you're doing, then you can grow and scale and it becomes, you know, big. But, you know, focus on, you know, doing something amazing first and establishing, you know, that position, that leadership position, and then all of a sudden things will come out of that you never expected.
Never settle. Never settle for second best. Always reach
right.
for the stars. That's right. Leonard Armato, thank you. MPE.com on the web. Really appreciate the great advice. And I think you're right. I think that we have to have the desire first in our hearts to be truly remarkable ourselves each day. Every day when you
Absolutely.
Wake up. That's right. Thank you, brother.
Well done, Alan.
Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Talk to you soon.
Okay.
You're listening to
Pleasure.
Inc. Radio. Yep. We'll be right back with more right after this commercial break. Stay with us. Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it. Well,
you're listening to Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. And, you know, we hope that you are learning something from this program. This magazine, Inc. Magazine, is the magazine for growing companies if you want to grow your company. This is a great place to get that daily dose of good advice from these people that are doers. Our next guest, his name is Michael Linenberger. He is an author of a book called Simple Awakening, The Power of Inner Silence. You know, it's funny. I do another show called The Drive, and my show is based upon the fact that I spent 25 years working in the auto industry. And I worked for Motor Trend magazine for a number of years, and then I went to Car and Driver magazine. So I've been one of those lucky guys. I get to drive brand new cars all the time, test them, talk about them. But because I drive a lot, people used to ask me, you know, what are you driving today? And I'd say, oh, I'm driving the new Lamborghini, or I'm driving a new, you know, Ford pickup or whatever it might be. But I also drove a long distance down to Los Angeles from my place in Oregon where I live. It's 750 miles, and I would drive down there, take 10, 11 hours, 12 hours, and I would do my radio show, and I would do a little business in L.A., and I would turn around and drive back. And they're like, you're crazy. Well, I've been doing this for 25 years. So at a certain point, they would say, are you doing The Drive? And I'm like, yeah, I'm doing The Drive. And I like doing The Drive. So when I decided to depart from the magazine industry that I was a part of for so many years, I thought, well, what am I going to call my show? So I called it The Drive, because that's what everybody would say. Are you going to do The Drive? Well, on that drive for the last 25 years of my life, I found something called silence. And I got to the point where I could drive from Oregon to Los Angeles without ever turning on the radio. And I would sit there and drive, and I would think, and I would ponder, and I would wonder, and I would ask questions to the great nothingness, you might say, that's out there, you know, the silence that is out there. Although I did hear something one time, Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Now, I don't want to get all spiritual on you, but let me just tell you, if God says to be still, well, it couldn't hurt you, could it? So when I was driving, I was still a lot. I was quiet a lot. And as I look at this book that Michael has written, and he's on the line right now, Simple Awakening, The Power of Inner Silence, I found that after all these years, I became a different person. I became able to sit with myself for these long periods of time. And it's interesting how time would go faster. I would have the answers to questions that I would ask about business, about marriage. I've been married 30 years in August. Let me tell you, that's no easy job. And I have four children. I've been in business as an entrepreneur pretty much my entire life since I left high school, took a few college classes just to learn things. And as soon as I learned them, I went on my way. But Michael, I am very interested in your book, and I just want to start out by, I wanted to start out by telling you my story, because I have been doing this for a long, long time, and I do believe that it's given me a certain amount of, I don't know, just consciousness, dare I say. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. First of all, I just want to say that's a really good story, Alan. I love that
Thanks.
Story, because silence can come from so many different places. You know, some people think, oh, I have to go off on a meditation trip. You don't have to do that. I think what you did was just a really good experience of one way of reaching that silence. And I really believe that silence brings you inner guidance. That you don't have, you know, I just had this thought, this impulse thought, where, you know, today we think of the way to succeed in life is to learn more, to get better at and more skilled at every little thing in life, and then memorize those skills, and then like a little computer, draw those skills up at the right time. And, you know, they've even got movies and stuff about people who are cyborgs, or they're wearing the Google glasses, and all the information they need at the exact moment is coming up on the screen, you know. And I believe just the opposite. It's not developing your intellect or memorizing all the skills to the umpteenth degree to succeed. It's being able to go in, get quiet, and then have that inner guidance just come to you spontaneously based on, you know, what is it, your DNA, your higher self, your basic impulses that you know you need to do to succeed in life. They're really there if you're able to reach that inner silence. So I really like your story, because that's the gist of my book.
Well, and I can't wait to read it. I know that this is a brand new book. Is it out? Is it coming out? What's the story here?
It's out. Okay. It's out. It should be in some bookstores. It's definitely on Amazon. So, yeah.
All right, Simple Awakening. Simple Awakening, The Power of Inner Silence. All right. So you have written books on workday management. Maybe tell the world a little bit about yourself, because this is very interesting. We have a good time here.
Yeah. Well, I'll if I really want the whole nine yards, we'd be here for 3 hours. But I'll just do it real fast. So, you know, graduated from college back in 1976. Was a soil science degree. Went to work for the Department of Agriculture, tongue-tied here, making soil maps, and then went back to school, got an undergrad and grad degree in civil engineering, and went into soils engineering, was designing foundations for huge skyscrapers in San Diego. Got bored of that, went into software engineering, got bored of that, went into management consulting for the big company called Accenture. You probably heard of that. That's one of the biggest consulting firms, management consulting firms out there. Worked my way up to VP of that. I was the IT director at U.S. Peace Corps. So I've done a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
But one of the things that kind of entered my heart, I don't know, 10 years ago, was that as I looked around, particularly in the workday world, people were, first of all, they were unhappy. They were overworked. They're working way too long hours and not enjoying it. I don't mind working long hours if I can enjoy it, but most people weren't enjoying it. They were just working long hours because they were afraid or they were scared they're going to lose their jobs or something, wanted to get ahead. So I saw these people spending hours and hours a day on email, you know, like 6 hours a day on email before they even came up and said, okay, what do I have to do today? So I wrote this book on how to get control of your email and your life by identifying the priorities in your work immediately. So it was a sort of a time management, task management, email management book. It became the number one best-selling book on Outlook, Microsoft Outlook. And then I've just since then, the last 10 years, I've been giving seminars on how to do this. And the interesting thing is it's not that much different from this book I just wrote now, right? Because people, they're stressed out, and there's a way to get kind of to the essential nature of what your work is and just let the noise go away. And that's really what reaching silence does, too.
I agree. This is big. There's a lot of people think that, you know, is this kind of like some sort of a cosmic spiritual breakthrough? And are you going to be kind of loopy afterwards? But the reality is being able to be quiet and be with yourself and actually like who you're with is really important. We're going to finish talking about this on the other side with Michael Lennenberger. He is the author of the book Simple Awakening, The Power of Inner Silence. This is really important, people. This is not mumbo-jumbo religious stuff. This is just simple and good, and it'll make you more efficient. Stay with us.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
Well, you're listening to Ink Radio, and I'm Alan Taylor. We thank Ink Radio for giving us the autonomy to be able to talk about whatever the heck we want to when it becomes, when it's all about trying to help you become more efficient and manage your life and your business better. And that's what this show is all about. We explore everything here, whether it be the spiritual side or even the, you know, systems and processes side, because a lot of life, you got to have systems and processes. But there is also that thing when you lay your head down on the pillow and there's a tornado of thought and your eyes are twitching back and forth and up and down and around, and you're like, ah, and you got to open your eyes and go, I can't take it. You get up and you go and you drink some coffee and you start reading a book, and then you get tired. But then as soon as the book and you're not distracted anymore, then the thoughts come back and they torture you in the head. And so, you know, it's like, where is it that we can finally find peace and quiet and silence inside of our own head? And I'll tell you what, this is really important. Again, we're talking with Michael Lennenberger, and Michael is the author of the book, Simple Awakening, The Power of Inner Silence. Michael, where did you tap into this?
Well, you know, God, it must be 40 years ago, I did some meditation. It was transcendental meditation. Did it for several years, actually, almost a decade or more, and then ran out of steam and got real busy with work and you know, forgot the whole thing. And then about 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, I was at a friend's house. sat down to eat Thanksgiving dinner, you know, and somebody at the dinner said, hey, let's close our eyes and just a silent grace and everybody, you know, do whatever you want in that, you know, minute. Let's just say a silent grace. So I closed my eyes and sort of went within it. It's been the first time in, oh, maybe 10 years that I'd gone within like that. And suddenly all this silence came. And what, by silence, I don't just mean absence of noise, which, you know, that's one level of silence, absence of noise. But I mean that that presence that you feel when the whole universe seems to organize itself into your state of being and you know all is well and everything is good and you've got this pure absolute silence that is guiding you. That dropped into my awareness in that 2 minutes grace that was there. And I said, ooh, oh, something special is going on.
Wow. I mean, it was prophetic that the person said, you know, let's say this little grace. And then all of a sudden you got grace. Right?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
I love
you?
It. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's how it came. And then I said, well, okay, so I'm going to do this again. The next day I just sat down in my own time and it came pouring back in and I did it again the next day and the next day. I said,
So we're not talking about meditation because everybody thinks, again, that meditation is this kind of funky, crazy thing. Not everybody. There's a lot of people that love it and do it. But this is just kind of like the Psalm 46:10, be still and know. Just be still, be quiet. And it's not really, I mean, I guess some people would say, oh, yes, he's meditating. But the reality is it's just simple. Be quiet. There's no, oh, you're not doing any all these weird things that, you know, people have to do to find that quietness. You literally just sat down, closed your eyes, and seek that quiet moment, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it.
Simple.
And you can do that for 5 minutes. You can do it for 10 minutes. I mean, I got to the point where I was doing it. It felt so good because, you know, really, I really hooked into something. It felt so good that I would do it for 40 minutes at a time sometimes, but only if I wanted to. I didn't make a, you know, if you make it too much of a discipline out of this, you won't do it. It'll
now,
become a sort
so
of.
So is there a downsize? I mean, won't, you know, people find that comfort zone where they, maybe they're going to get lazy and they won't be as efficient, but you're saying no, that actually it makes you more efficient.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have this theory and I think it's true that if you work from silence, you will be guided to the most important and best things you can be doing at any given time. If during the day you kind of dip into your silence, I'm not talking about for 5 minutes or 2 minutes. I just mean for a half a second when you have to make a decision, just kind of
pause,
kind of turn your attention into that silence a little bit and go with the guidance that comes. You'd be amazed how much more effective you are because you're being guided. You really are. I think everybody's got it, but it's just so much noise in the world that we've cut ourselves off from that.
No, and I like this because here's how I described it to my friends. Now, when I grew up in Ventura, California on the beach, and I was a surfer kid. Now I look more like a manatee, but I grew up surfing, and I remember every now and then I would try and catch a wave, but the wave, it wasn't quite right for me because, you know, you have to follow that intuition of I want this wave or that wave. And I would just kind of pull back a little bit and let the wave pass me, and then I would wait for the right wave for me. So what I tell my friends, when you're being pressured to make a decision, and this happens in business, everybody, all the time, pause for a second. Let that wave pass you because maybe it's not ready. Maybe it's not the wave for you. And guess what? If it is the wave for you, unlike a wave that will go on and crash onto the beach, that piece of business is meant for you and it'll happen. And then you can kind of ride that wave of success, you might say. And that's they talk about surfing as being it's a free ride, right? Because, man, it's like Mother Nature and you kind of being at one. And in business, so many times people get freaked out because there's so much to do and so little time to get it done. But every now and then you got to pause and let that wave of freak out pass you by. And all of a sudden on the other side of that wave of angst or that wave of pressure that somebody's putting on you, there's that place where you really belong, where you can say, you know what? It really wasn't that big of a deal. I could do this and get it done in a timely fashion without doing a bad or a poor job at my job because I was doing it from the wrong energy. So tapping into that right energy makes you much more efficient. Am I saying this right? I mean, we have never met before, right? And this is the same thing.
Yeah, no, I want you to write the next book for me. Because you absolutely have. First of all, I grew up surfing too, so I know exactly what you're talking about. Secondly, I just want to share this little story, which is that about 4 or 5 years ago, I gave an interview with an ABC News interviewer, and I described this, you know, this thing about how a lot of people in work do what you described, which is you get into this freak out mode, you know, and you're wasting so much time.
All right. Hold that thought, because we want people to know how not to freak out. And that is the biggest thing. I have employees do it all the time. They're like, I can see it in their face. They're like, oh, my God, I'll never get this done that he's asking me to do. But you can. But you got to use the right energy. We're going to take a break. This is Inc. Radio. We're going to come back with more Michael Lindenberger. He is the author of Simple Awakening, The Power of Inner Silence. We'll be right back. Introducing the Craftsman Bolt-On Reciprocating Saw. This saw attachment comes with a 6-inch general-purpose blade and delivers enough power to cut through a variety of materials like drywall, PVC, and even small tree branches. The reciprocating saw attachment transforms the bolt-on base into a portable and versatile cutting beast. Tool-free blade changes make switching out accessory blades easier than ever. Construct your Craftsman Bolt-On system today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. Well, don't forget, check out our website, inc.com, inc.com. It is a fantastic resource for you people out there that are in business, entrepreneurs, those who want to be entrepreneurs, wantrepreneurs, we'll call them. Inc.com, the resource for those growing companies. Our guest right now, again, the book he has just written, Simple Awakening, and you can find it at simpleawakening.com, but the full title is Simple Awakening, The Power of Inner Silence. So, we had to take a break, but I'm going to just reset this for you. This happened yesterday for me. My company, we're a bit of a marketing company, and we deal with a lot of big, giant companies. Those big, giant companies have lots of demands upon me and my little company. We're a little boutique company, but we can turn on a dime. Well, with that, Michael, comes stress. Now, because I've spent 25 years finding my inner silence, and whenever I have a problem, boy, do I go dipping into that pool again. I need that quiet, reflective moment of intuition where I go inward, intuition, and I try and find the answers. Not outward, not dealing with the stress and dealing with the people freaking out because of the timelines and all that. I go in, I find my silence, I find the answer. Not all of my employees and my family members are able to do that. What happens is they get the job done, but when they're done, they are exhausted because they have given their total life essence to it. Instead of trying to tap into that kind of inner silence, that pool of energy that is actually comes from a different place. So I'm coming back to you again, and I want you to give me that kind of the last moments of the Simple Awakening book and how it can help people to tap into this to be more productive with their workday management and their life management. Michael, back to you.
Well, I like to say that silence helps you avoid UFOs, and I call those unnecessary freakouts.
Perfect.
And I told that in an interview the other day, actually it was a couple years ago, and the interviewer said, "Oh, you mean producers?" And I said, no, we're talking about life in general here. But it's true because I just am amazed at how much people spin their wheels. You know, I've seen people spin their wheels for weeks. Have you ever had the experience where you feel like after 3 or 4 days you said to yourself, oh, my goodness, I've been working on the wrong project. Everything I just did for the last 3 or 4 days is useless to me. And
totally.
Many people spend their entire careers doing – 80% of their time is spinning their wheels. And that's because
decades.
And that's because they're not dipping down into that silent guidance that I think we all have if you're willing to just do it. And so the practice that I recommend for people is find 10, 20 minutes a day and just sit quietly. Nature's great. Get away from the hubbub. Get away, get in your bedroom, whatever, close the door.
Take a drive, right?
Take a drive and just get into that silent space and let the flow happen. And then dip into that science throughout your workday, and it's amazing how much more success you'll have.
Right. Stop reacting to the world and literally just find that silence. I got into an argument with my wife the other day. After 30 years, we of course have a few arguments. And, I was mad. It was Father's Day. Oh, God, I was so mad. I got in my car, and I decided to go for a drive. And I didn't turn the radio on. I literally just drove. I drove about 30 miles, and I drove down this beautiful road down through the redwoods and was heading down to the Oregon coast. And all of a sudden, I realized, I thought, oh, my God, I'm so glad I didn't just react to that giant dump of toxic emotion. It was like, had I reacted to that, I would have turned into a mass murderer, Michael. I'm telling you, we got to let the wave of toxic emotions and toxic reactions pass. And so to me, this silence, this inner silence you're talking about, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, let that wave pass you. The only way to do it is to get quiet. And remember, not to be all, you know, religious, but it says right there, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. He wants us to be still. So whether you, whatever you believe in, this stillness, this quietness is a good thing. It costs nothing. There is nothing you have to pay to be quiet. And good comes out of it. You become more productive. You become more loving towards your family. And I, when I drove back home, I was so happy, so relieved that I let that toxic wave of pressure, of anger, of emotion, of, you know, energy that was not what I wanted, I let it pass. So listen, I can't wait to get your book, everybody. It is called Simple Awakening. You can check it out at simpleawakening.com. Author Michael Lindenberger. Michael, you know what? I'm going to have you on again. Well, I'll get the book, read it, and see if we can't talk some more another time.
That'd be fun. I'd love to do that.
Yeah,
great.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, that is about it for us this hour. We hope that we've given you the ability to now turn the radio off and find some silence. The show after us is going to be mad, and it may be me, depending on what station you're listening to. Check out our website, ink.com. Pick up our magazine at newsstands everywhere. It is Ink Magazine, the magazine for growing companies. We want to help you grow yours. I'm Alan Taylor. See you next week. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.